This spring, if you'd rather spend time enjoying your lawn instead of trying to keep it alive, there's good news. TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and even some things you might not even think of. They'll do all of it, while you can do literally anything else. With True Green, you could have your lawn looking as good as a putting green. That's not hyperbole. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. True Green offers a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people guaranteed.
Every day, our world gets a little more connected, but a little further apart. But then, there are moments that remind us to be more human.
Thank you for calling Amica Insurance.
Hey, I was just in an accident.
Don't worry, we'll get you taken care of.
At Amica, we understand that looking out for each other isn't new or groundbreaking. It's human. Amica, empathy is our best policy.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Tonight, significant hurricane threat. The U.S. prepares for what could be its first major storm of this season. Hurricane Fiona knocks out power for thousands in Bermuda before heading toward Canada. CBS's Tanya Rivero reports tonight on the rare hurricane warnings up north as all eyes are on a tropical depression that could pose serious danger to Florida next week. Border battle. A governor sued after flying migrants up to Martha's Vineyard. CBS's Manuel Bajorquez has a look at the cause of the crisis.
El Paso's Migrant Welcome Center is receiving 400 asylum seekers per day, and officials believe that number could grow.
Protests in Iran turn deadly. Women burn their headscarves and take to the streets after this 22-year-old was killed in police custody. CBS's Ramy Innocencio reports on the intensifying outrage. And on the road, CBS's Steve Hartman has a story of a friendship formed at first sight.
I got a best friend. I got a mini-me.
This is the CBS Evening News with Nora O'Donnell, reporting from the nation's capital.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us on this busy Friday night. I'm Jerika Duncan in for Nora. Tonight, forecasters are keeping a very close eye on two major storm systems, one bearing down on Canada. The other could cause significant damage to the Gulf Coast and Florida. Hurricane Fiona is moving north towards Canada after hitting Bermuda earlier today with heavy rains and winds. The damage was far more devastating, though, in Puerto Rico, where nearly 1 million homes and businesses remain without power just 5 days after Fiona caused catastrophic flooding. The hurricane is currently a Category 3 storm and is expected to make landfall in Nova Scotia by tomorrow morning. Forecasters here in the United States are concerned about a storm in the Caribbean, Tropical Depression 9. It could become a major hurricane that's on track to hit Florida next week. The governor there now declaring a state of emergency in preparation. Our CBS's Tanya Rivero will start us off tonight from the Jersey coastline. Good evening to you, Tanya.
Good evening, Jerika. Fiona barreled its way from the Caribbean to the Atlantic. Tonight it is gaining speed as it churns its way north off the East Coast, triggering dangerous conditions, including heavy waves all along the way.
Fiona isn't finished just yet. The storm battered Bermuda today with howling winds and driving rain, knocking out power to thousands. This is what Fiona looked like earlier from the inside. It's 50-foot waves and more than 100-mile-per-hour winds captured by a drone as the storm crawled up the Atlantic. leaving behind from Puerto Rico to the Dominican Republic to Turks and Caicos, a near week-long trail of destruction. At least seven deaths have been attributed to the storm. More than half of Puerto Rico, where Fiona got its start earlier this week, is still without power. More than a quarter of the island has no water. There are debris, blocked roads, and mud-caked homes.
I always have extra cases of water.
With Puerto Rico fresh on their minds, Floridians are taking no chances as a new storm gathering in the Caribbean threatens to hit sometime next week.
I'm pretty prepared for anything.
And as Fiona barrels northward, residents along the Canadian coast are preparing for it to hit them hard within the next day.
I have everything prepared. I got my candles, I got my batteries.
Canada may be getting the brunt of this storm, but along the East Coast, Fiona will be kicking up life-threatening surf and rip current conditions all throughout the weekend. Jerika.
A lot of communities impacted. Thank you, Tanya. For the very latest on Hurricane Fiona and the dangers posed by Tropical Depression 9, let's bring in meteorologist Chris Warren from our partners at the Weather Channel. Chris, good evening.
Good evening, Jerika. Fiona is still a powerful storm as it continues to track to the north. The latest with this, a 125-mile-per-hour Category 3 storm as it does continue to move to the north, and where it's heading, it's going to Canada. The storm is going to remain very large and still very strong, making landfall likely at a Category 1 hurricane here in Maritime Canada. So this is well north of New York City and even north of Maine as it continues up to the north. However, we in southern locations need to pay very close attention to this. This is a tropical depression, but if you are on the Gulf Coast, Florida, and even the East Coast, there is a very powerful hurricane being forecast here by the National Hurricane Center. It does show that there will be some rapid intensification in the Western Caribbean, so everything is on the table. Flooding, heavy rain, and very strong winds. Jerika?
Yeah, we'll definitely be following this through the weekend. Thank you. In Ukraine, a Kremlin-backed referendum got underway across Russian-occupied regions today in an attempt to make them part of Russia. The so-called election is illegal under international law. Well, this afternoon, President Biden called the referendums a sham and said Washington will never recognize Ukrainian territory as anything other than part of Ukraine. Meanwhile, in Russia, long lines of military-aged men are fleeing the country in droves, packing planes and causing traffic jams at border crossings, all to avoid fighting in Ukraine. Tonight, two American veterans who were released in a multi-nation prisoner swap with Russia are finally back home on U.S. soil. Both men from Alabama arrived at New York's JFK International Airport today. They were captured by Russian separatists in June while defending Ukraine's Kharkiv region. Saudi Arabia helped to broker their release. Well, to Florida now, Florida's Republican governor is facing a new legal battle over those controversial flights traveling migrants to Martha's Vineyard. As the U.S. faces a growing crisis at the border, CBS's Manuel Bajorquez takes us inside an immigrant facility in El Paso.
The flights carrying 48 asylum seekers from Texas to Martha's Vineyard are now the focus of a new lawsuit. Florida State Senator Jason Pizzo, a Democrat, says the $615,000 flights violate state law and is now asking a judge to stop Republican Governor Ron DeSantis from launching similar flights.
When you fly people from Texas, when you pay for their hotel rooms, when you buy them meals and give them haircuts, using Florida dollars, you're violating the law.
DeSantis has dismissed those claims and yesterday doubled down.
This was not an issue of concern even 2 weeks ago. Now it seems to be on the front burner, so we're proud of that.
In El Paso, Texas, we were given rare access to a new mobile processing center, seeing an average of 1,500 migrants a day. About half of them fled from Venezuela's authoritarian regime.
You'd rather risk your life over this one-month journey over staying in Venezuela. There's no guarantee.
There are large numbers of Nicaraguans and Cubans, too. Landon Hutchins is with Customs and Border Protection.
How does that change the equation for you?
Well, unlike the Mexicans and Central Americans, we are having to process the people coming from Venezuela and Cuba and Nicaragua under our Title VIII authorities.
meaning they're usually released and allowed to request asylum. The U.S. has detained a record more than 2 million migrants at the border so far this year, but CBP says more than 1.3 million have also been deported or expelled. Julia Jimenez-Gonzalez fled Cuba.
Quiero llegar a su país y ser libre y reunirme con mi familia.
You want to be free and reunite with your family.
She's hoping to get to relatives in the Tampa area. Jerika, we're also learning that a civil rights organization is offering a $5,000 reward for information on a woman who allegedly lured migrants under false pretenses to get on those flights paid for by Florida.
Wow. Manny, thank you for your reporting. Well, breaking tonight, an Iowa man is now facing prison time for his role in the January 6th assault on the U.S. Capitol. A federal jury here in Washington convicted Doug Jensen on multiple felony charges, including obstruction and assault. Prosecutors say Jensen tried to stop the certification of electoral votes by scaling a 20-foot wall and leading a mob that chased Capitol Police Officer Eugene Goodman through the building. Jensen's lawyer said he got sucked into a QAnon conspiracy theory. Well, the House January 6th committee will hold its next public hearing on Wednesday to reveal more findings. For Sunday 60 Minutes, CBS's Bill Whitaker talks to a former investigator for the committee who shares new details of an alleged phone call that day from inside the White House.
Did it hit you at one point that this is way bigger than it appeared in the beginning?
Absolutely. So you get a real aha moment when you see that the White House switchboard had connected to a rioter's phone while it's happening. That's a big, pretty big aha moment. You get an aha moment.
Wait a minute. Someone in the White House was calling one of the rioters while the riot was going on?
On January 6th, absolutely.
And you know who both ends of that call?
I only know one end of that call. I don't know the White House end, which I believe is more important. But the thing is, the American people need to know that there are link connections that need to be explored more.
As senior technical advisor for the January 6th committee, Denver Riggleman, a former House Republican and ex-military intelligence officer, ran a data-driven operation pursuing phone records and other digital clues tied to the attack on the Capitol.
From my perspective, you know, being in counterterrorism, you know, if the White House, even if it's a short call and it's a connected call, who is actually making that phone call?
Is there a simple, innocent explanation for that?
Was it an accidental call from the White House that just happened to call numbers that somebody misdialed a rioter that day on January 6th? Probably not.
Well, you can see more of Bill Whitaker's interview on this Sunday's 60 Minutes. Overseas in Iran, the government is cracking down on demonstrators following nearly a week of mass protests over the death of 22-year-old Mahsa Amini while in custody of the morality police. Human rights groups say at least 50 people have been killed during the unrest. Here's CBS's Ramy Innocencio.
Women defiantly taking off their head coverings, breaking Islamic law. Some going further, burning their hijabs in protest, even cutting their hair. These anti-government protests were sparked by the death of 22-year-old Mahsa Amini. Iran's so-called morality police arrested her for wearing an improper hijab and claimed she suffered a heart attack while in detention. Her family believes she was beaten to death. The protests, the biggest since 2019, have touched a nerve. Now women and men have spilled into the streets, attacking authoritarian symbols, chanting death to the dictator, even stoning an image of Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei.
See it happening.
Sanam Vakil is an Iran policy expert.
It showcases the level of public anger. People are just fed up. This is a generation of Iranians that are pushing back.
They're angry for so many reasons. Rising poverty, soaring inflation, crushing sanctions on top of government repression. They forced Iranian security, the Basij, to flee. This commander bloodied, this policeman killed. But human rights groups say civilian deaths are rising too as the government cracks down and shuts down web access to stop the world from seeing videos like these.
And when the internet was cut 3 years ago, a crackdown on mass protest happened soon after. Iran's military today has already threatened violence, saying it is ready to deal with its enemies. Jerika?
Yeah, those images tough to watch, Ramy. Thank you. In tonight's Health Watch, we're looking at the mental health crisis among Americans' youth. A new study finds nearly 1 in 5 young people suffered from depression before the pandemic hit, and it's only gotten worse. CBS's Meg Oliver explains.
Focus on your exhale.
If I open up to my parents about how I feel, it'll make them think that they failed.
18-year-old Emma Wanstall has learned it's okay to ask for help. The former cheerleader started treatment for her mental health in July.
It's good to feel emotions, but you just have to deal with them in the right way.
During the pandemic, Emma fell into a deep depression.
How bad did it get?
It got to the point where I overdosed, and I was planning on going to bed that night and not waking up in the morning.
Suicide is the third leading cause of death among people aged 15 to 24 in the U.S. Since 2019, the number of teenage girls who have been suicidal has increased 50%.
Why is it getting worse?
It's the pressure of the return to normalcy. Now we're trying to get back to normal when we've all lost out on some skills.
Samantha Gignot is a family therapist at Newport Healthcare. She says parents should look for changes in behavior, isolating from friends, substance use, self-harm, or eating disorders.
Is it okay to talk to your child about suicide?
Yes, absolutely. That's a very big fear, right? If you name that for your adolescent, it will put the idea in their head, and that's not the case. So you want to ask your child, are you having thoughts of hurting yourself? Are you having thoughts of worthlessness or hopelessness? You can talk to me. If you can't, we'll get you the help that you need.
Emma is learning to cope through various therapies and now relies on boxing as an emotional outlet.
What do you want other kids to know who are suffering from depression or possibly thinking about suicide?
That you're not alone. There is a lot of people out there that are going through the same thing as you, and it's hard, but you have to face it head on.
Moving forward by taking the first step. Meg Oliver, CBS News, Bethlehem, Connecticut.
New video out tonight shows a train near Denver slamming into a police car with a woman handcuffed in the backseat. Take a look. The 20-year-old woman had been pulled over on suspicion of road rage. Well, tonight she's in the hospital. The officer parked his car on that rail crossing and left the suspect inside while he searched her vehicle. Then a train, as you saw there, with its horn blaring, barreled through and slammed into the patrol car. The woman is expected to survive. The officer is on paid leave. The Boston Celtics suspended its head coach overnight for the entire NBA season. The Celtics said the move follows a months-long investigation into Ime Udoka's conduct. He reportedly had a relationship with a female team employee, a violation of team rules. Udoka, in a statement, apologized for letting down the team and his family. On the Road is next with a special bond between two friends.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car-selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first 3 orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
There are few things more beautiful in life than a close friend, especially when that person can see the beauty from within. That's what CBS's Steve Hartman found this week on the road.
I'm over here!
When people first see 9-year-old Carson Majors of Encinitas, California, almost everyone jumps to the same conclusion. But she doesn't have cancer.
Good job!
She's fine.
Easy.
She just has alopecia universalis, an autoimmune disease that results in near total hair loss. Carson began showing symptoms at the age of 6, and within 2 years, her flowing blonde locks were completely gone.
I like to do my hair a lot, but then it fell out, so.
Carson says it still bothers her at times.
Because I miss my hair.
But she says her attitude improved dramatically after a chance meeting on the lacrosse field.
When you first saw her, what did you think?
She was like so nice, pretty, beautiful, cool. She was way older than me.
But equally bald.
She's like, do you have alopecia? I was like, yeah. Do you? She's like, yeah. It was a moment of awe, especially because the sun was setting. It was just like shining down. It was like perfect.
17-year-old Scarlett Hall says she used to hate her hair loss too. But her attitude also improved dramatically after meeting Carson.
Scarlett!
Carson! Hi, kid. I got a best friend. I got a mini-me.
Alopecia in children is rare, which is why Scarlett decided it was especially important.
You too.
Not only to engage with Carson that first day, but to remain a presence in her life.
I want to be able to show her that, like, you're perfect. You don't need to look like the people in the magazine cover.
And by all accounts, that message is getting through.
Did she help make you more comfortable with who you are?
Yes.
By something she said or just the way she was?
The way she was.
So friends make that big a difference.
Did you not know that?
I had an inkling, but now I believe it even more.
Two besties, showing the world that hair should never be top of mind, and that bold is beautiful. Steve Hartman.
That's perfect.
On the road in Encinitas, California.
That's what friends are for. Tennis great Roger Federer took to the court one last time before retirement. The 20-time Grand Slam winner, considered one of the greatest players in history, teamed up with his longtime rival Rafael Nadal for his final professional match at the Laver Cup in London. Well, that does it for us tonight. Watching the CBS Evening News, Nora O'Donnell will be back next week. I'm Jerika Duncan in our nation's capital. Thanks so much for watching. Have a great night and an even better weekend.
Hi, it's Stephen Colbert, and I'm here to tell you about The Late Show Pod Show, which is the podcast of The Late Show with me, Stephen Colbert, and I'm here with my producer of the podcast, Becca. Hi, Becca.
Hi, Stephen.
And how long have you been the producer of this?
We've been doing this for 2 years now.
Okay, and what is it like to attempt to get feedback from me about the podcast? Be honest about how quickly I respond to emails.
You actually respond to emails surprisingly fast.
Really? I think you might be the only person I respond to. I respond to quickly. Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah.
I expected you to lay into me.
Well, this was over the strike period.
Oh, I had time.
Yeah.
See, that doesn't count. Sure, I responded to everything because responding to you putting reruns up on the podcast was like a form of employment.
Yeah.
And I felt like I had something to get up for every day. So thank you for that. Listen to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert wherever you get your podcasts.
It was the biggest scandal in pop music. The stars of Milli Vanilli, the Grammy-winning multi-platinum R&B phenomenon, were exposed as frauds. But none of this was their idea. So whose idea was it? Enter German music producer Frank Farian. He saw the success of acts like Michael Jackson and Prince, and he wanted in, no matter the cost. So he devised the perfect pop heist. Two once-in-a-lifetime talents who were charismatic, full of sex appeal, and phenomenal dancers. The only problem? They couldn't sing. But Frank knew just how to fix that. Wondery's new podcast, Blame It on the Fame, dives into one of pop music's greatest controversies and takes a never-before-heard look at the exploitation of two young Black artists. Milli Vanilli set the world on fire, but when the truth came out, Rob and Fab were the only ones who got burned. Looking back now, it's hard not to wonder, why did everyone blame them and not the man pulling the strings? Follow Blame It on the Fame, Milli Vanilli, on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of Blame It on the Fame early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.